If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Wednesday is This Week in Chicago History Day with Anna DeVlantis, and we start this morning with May of 1979 and a terrible tragedy in the news. Anna?
Good morning, Bob. This week marks a tragic moment in Chicago history, as you said, that some of your listeners may remember well. In 1979, go way back then, a DC-10 aircraft took off from O'Hare and only made it about 6,000 feet from the runway before crashing to the ground near Toohey and Mount Prospect Road. The left engine had completely detached, and it rolled over the wing, and the plane banked sharply to the left and just went crashing down to the ground. There were no survivors. 271 people died on that aircraft, two people on the ground. To this day, it goes down as the worst commercial airline crash in U.S. history. And it prompted the grounding of the DC-10 aircraft all over the place. All of them were grounded. There were concerns that it was an inherent problem with the airplane. It turned out it was an inherent problem with the way the airplanes were maintained and the engines were maintained. So dramatic changes implemented. But go back to that time, and the crash really, really shook public confidence, you may recall, in travel. We pulled a clip from the WGN-TV News at 9 back then, the late 70s, the legendary Len O'Connor reflecting on the crash that moved the city into mourning and really tested the resolve of scores of local first responders.
There are no words to console the families of those who perished in today's crash of the American Airlines plane. If there is any good side to these monumental tragedies that occur, I think it is the dedication and this courage that is shown by the policemen and the firemen and all the others who do what has to be done at the scene of tragedy. This courage does nothing, of course, to restore the lives of those who are dead, but it gives us a lesson in charity and human values that provides a glimmer of relief from the sadness that prevails at a time like this. God forbid that we will soon have to endure something like the crash of Flight 191. But if it happens, when it happens, the consolation will again be the willingness of those who do not run away from these bitter tasks that have to be done. We owe these people something, I think. And I am Len O'Connor.
It took many years, but there's finally a memorial to the victims, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, Bob, it took three decades, in fact. There was no permanent memorial of that crash until some students at Decatur Classical School in Chicago managed to raise some funds and said, hey, we need one of these. And so they built a memorial a short distance from the crash site, which is there today.
Mm-hmm. And now something a little more upbeat, and this was the beginning of a Chicago run for Lester Holt at Channel 2. It was May 15th, 1986.
Yeah, go back then. Amazing career for Lester Holt. He first stepped into the anchor chair here in Chicago this week, 1986, Bob. And I know we all know that he's stepping down as the top anchorman for NBC now, and he's been at the NBC Nightly News at the helm of that broadcast for many years. But he got his big anchorman break here in Chicago. Channel 2 hired him in 1986. He ascended through the ranks before leaving for NBC. And those who don't remember Lester Holt from the local news, if that's going too far back for you or you just weren't watching the news at that time, you may remember him from the other mark he made on the local landscape. For decades, Bob, he was the face and voice of jury duty in Cook County. So if you were selected as a juror, or, you know, a prospective juror, you were doing your civic duty in the city, you got your orientation from Lester Holt in that video, a grainy, awful video shot in the 80s. Even he calls it awful, so I'm not speaking out of turn. It's a 15-minute video. They showed it for years at Cook County, and he had that big, bushy mustache. We pulled a clip from that.
Right.
Hello, I'm Lester Holt, and today I'm going to lead you through the process of serving on a jury. These people, like yourselves, have been called here today for jury duty. You may be wondering how you were chosen. Your name was picked at random from a list of voters or drivers, like all jurors called to serve in Cook County.
People tweet all the time. They're like, I just went to jury duty at Cook County, and Lester Holt is the voice of the instructions. That thing was recorded in like 1960. I don't know.
I've been called three times. I've seen the same video, and you have the bad mustache, too.
Yeah, and it's grainy, and I almost want to call him and say, look, I'll do it as a freebie. We have to change this out. I mean, you know, I won't charge you. I mean, it is kind of hilarious. Not a month goes by, someone doesn't go for the first time, and they have to tweet like,
"I love it."
That's Lester Holt.
I remember him.
Lester on WGN Radio. Yeah, he has a great sense of humor.
He does, yeah. He's really loved. And maybe he'll come back now that he's got a little extra time and re-record that Jury Duty video box. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I've heard for a long time that all he has wanted to do for years is go to California and maybe play his guitar now and then and do a little bit for the network. So
nice.
He's going to get to do that. Nice. Now we have the obligatory Pope Leo mention, don't we?
Well, okay. I know everyone mentions every angle of this story, but we've got one for you too, Bob, this morning. This week, 1969, the man soon to be known as Pope Leo XIV graduated from St. Mary of the Assumption School in Dalton, local parish school. 55 years later, of course, he'd become Pope, but no one knew it then, except they did know he was an excellent student. And every priest and nun, you know, who's been interviewed since, has said he was just their pride and joy. You know, he was an altar boy. He was amazing in school, not just disciplined, but also in actual academics. Really well known that, you know, he was great at math. He was just a great student. And in college, he became close with the current president of Villanova, who is named Peter Donahue. He just gave an interview with the Today Show. This is a great clip because he talks about how he knew him back then and he just fell out of his chair when he heard the news that his friend Bob from Chicago had become Pope.
The TV in the restaurant came on saying there's white smoke. And I asked the manager to turn up the sound because we couldn't hear it. And when he walked out and said, you know, Roberto Francesco Cardinale, I screamed in this restaurant.
Wow. Oh, wow.
I mean, nobody really expected it. We talked about it, but nobody really was like, oh, yeah, he's going to get it. He's the front runner.
You know? Wow.
Tell us a little bit more about him.
He's very simple. He's very gentle. He's not boastful at all. He's a very intelligent man. And he loves engaging with people. I think people will be very impressed with him.
Villanova President Peter Donahue.
Mm-hmm. His friend Bob became Pope.
Billy Corgan history from 1996. Anna, tell us about this.
Yeah, that song. Love that song. I think you do too, Bob. Tonight by the Smashing Pumpkins and Billy Corgan, released this week in 1996. It came from a studio jam session right here in Chicago, and the song references Chicago without calling it out by name. He talks about the city by the lake, the place where he was born in, and it's deeply personal if you really listen to it. It talks about his connections to the city, but personal struggles growing up in the city. Album title, Night of Melancholy and Infinite Sadness, so that gives you a sense of how he reflects on his childhood. Billy Corgan got into in more detail about this deeply personal song and album with Howard Stern a few years back, and we pulled this clip.
Honestly, I don't have a lot of memory of writing this song.
Right.
I remember what I was thinking, which was that, for example, the song pays a little bit of homage to Cheap Trick.
I love Cheap Trick.
A great rock and roll bands. And Cheap Trick occasionally would have this kind of dark, optimistic thing, you know, like they'd sing about something that seemed kind of bright, but inside was kind of dark.
Like Daddy's All Right.
Yeah.
Mommy's All Right, but they just seem a little...
Heaven Tonight is an example. So
right.
I think I was kind of thinking a little bit of that kind of Cheap Trick vibe where it's like... It's on the surface, it seems kind of like hopeful and stuff and idealistic, but if you kind of dig into the lyric a little bit, it's got some darkness in it.
Yeah, because you think about it, like it does sound hopeful, this song.
Yeah.
But I do get depressed, which is cool that when I hear it.
When we had the song, I mean, I thought it was a good song, but I mean, I never would have guessed it turned out to be what it's become. I mean, it's become basically a classic in a way that's almost probably more important than any other song I've ever written.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's a generational marker or something. You know, it reminds people of times, and that's a good feeling. I never would have guessed that when I wrote it, for sure.
They're going to mark the release of that album pretty soon, aren't they?
30th anniversary of that album, believe it or not, Bob. Billy announced he's going to be doing some anniversary concerts for it, and he'll team up with the Lyric Opera of Chicago for that. They're going to perform it, some of the songs with a live orchestra, so that will be something to see if you're a Billy Corgan fan.
Yep, and now we remember the last Oprah.
Oh, gosh. Okay, this week, 2011, Bob, 25 years after the nationally syndicated show hit the airwaves, the Oprah Winfrey Show signed off its final episode, May 25th, 2011. course, it started as a local show. We all know that, AM Chicago, here in just in the city then. But then spread to 140 countries at its peak, 150 million weekly viewers. The final episode, only Oprah herself was on stage. And it was all about reflection of what, you know, where she had come from. And so Oprah told the audience that they weren't going to be giving away any cars. There was nothing hidden beneath their seats, nothing like that. It was just really her on stage reflecting for the 4,561st show in her career. And so there she was after a 25-year successful run. She walked out on stage for the last time at Harpo Studios. Stedman Graham was in the audience, her longtime partner. So was Tyler Perry, and her fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Duncan, was there too. Here is the clip, Oprah's final words on her final episode this week in 2011.
We have hooted and hollered together, had our aha moments, we ugly cried together, and we did our gratitude journals. So I thank you all for your support and your trust in me. I thank you for sharing this yellow brick road of blessings. I thank you for tuning in every day along with your mothers and your sisters and your daughters, your partners, gay and otherwise, your friends, and all the husbands who got coaxed into watching Oprah. And I thank you for being as much of a sweet inspiration for me as I've tried to be for you. I won't say goodbye. I'll just say, until we meet again.
And then she gave everybody in the audience a brand new car. No, she didn't. No,
total
she didn't.
Bummer if you were expecting that, right, Bob? You went to, oh, I can't wait to see what she's going to give away on the last episode. Only words of advice from Oprah. That's what you got if you were at that particular. But, you know, that was enough.
Yeah, it was. Anna DeVlantis, talk to you next Wednesday. Thank you.